Today on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, we are still at Dragon Con, and you can tell I'm dragging at this con. I am so tired. But we're going to talk about Dragon Con and She-Hulk. Some thoughts that Matt has that he has yet to divulge to me. All that and more that we have no control over.
Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. My name is Matthew Carroll.
And I am very curious. Also, I'm Jeff Randall.
Well, we'll talk She-Hulk in a minute. First, we're at Dragon Con.
We're Dragon Con.
You say you're dragon.
I'm dragon.
I did the pun. I like the pun. It was a good pun. I am also dragon. I'm dragging my knees around.
Yeah.
I have been dancing Non-stop. Yeah, you've seen me.
I've seen it. You got the moves.
Thanks, man. Thanks. It was fun. It was a lot of fun.
You had that. I guess to divulge a little shopping history. You got some nice leather bracers.
I did.
And this like awesome leather doublet.
So to divulge further, it's like I feel like we're revealing something.
Yeah.
But no, I
pull back the shadow.
I've always wanted a nice like leather coat, or what did you call this thing?
It's a doublet. Or you could call it. I mean, it could be like a duster, a doublet, a jerkin. I think are all words that are sort of mostly interchangeable.
Yeah.
All the historians are like screaming at me right now.
Sure. Like the it's like a medieval looking like.
It's mostly just a coat.
Yeah. It's almost like a dress though too. Like it's like a dress, but for a dude with like a big hole in the front. Like it's like a coat that fastens, but it has a very circular look to it. Like it looks very
like an
A-frame almost.
Right.
Anyway, I have been in all these cons for I've been to a couple cons, but Dragon Con's the main one. But every year I go to all these shops in the freaking like whatever the exhibit hall,
the vendor halls,
yeah,
the dealer halls or whatever,
and they always have these great coats.
Oh yeah.
And I am too big for all of them.
They always have these amazing leather shops and like I love all the steampunk ones, obviously, because I'm the steampunk douchebag. But like I love all of that. I love all of the fashion that you get to see.
Yeah.
That's like, this is not your everyday fashion these days. Like all of this is costumery, but like I would wear it all the time if I could. If I wouldn't like pour sweat profusely, I would wear so many layers, you know.
Yeah. I like layers as a big guy. I like layers.
I
feel like less exposed. It's nice as a big guy.
Yeah You feel like almost armored.
Put more on.
But like in those shops, the leather smell is so
nice.
God, I love that smell.
Yeah.
And like I've gone to a lot of those shops before, and it's like, oh yeah, it's XL's the biggest you got. Great. No, I'm hope you sell all of it.
Yeah, exactly. It really is like crazy. And I feel like there's a lot of big nerds out there, and I feel like they would do well to have some big coats. But anyway, I've been in these shops. They've never had my size, never even close. And last night I
walked. But like, shout out to Crimson Chain.
Yeah, Crimson Chain Leatherworks or whatever. They had a really cool big coat that fit me. And I had the previous day, as some of you saw on the internet, I was Loki with hot dog fingers. So I still had Ashley's Loki helmet or Loki crown.
The horns, yeah.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, this green coat would make a perfect
it's
medieval looking Loki.
It's green and black and like real nice. And you got the leather bracers to go with it with all the rivets. Like it plays.
It did. Well, you guys can check it out. We posted those pictures all around. At my current size, I've just never been able to get a cosplay like that. I did once for like a day get small enough to wear my Star-Lord coat, which me and you were trying to get down to Star-Lord and Drax weights.
Oh god.
For like, you know, the first 3 years of this podcast.
That worked out so well.
Well, I went to see Endgame with my Star-Lord coat on and then like immediately gained a bunch of weight back. So
just hulked right out of
it. I hulked out. Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. So I've loved going cosplaying as Loki last night. I had all these like other Lokis walking up to me, like handing me pins and buttons that were like Loki themed. Like, you are also a Loki. I will give you this. Like, I had a lady walk up to me in a very well cut blazer and green paint all over her face. And she was like, excuse me, Loki? And I was like, oh, yes. She's like, hi, Jennifer Walters. And she handed me a card from GLKNH or whatever.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
The company from
the law firm that she was going against at first. And now she's a part of them.
That's it. So she comes up and she's like, has a card from GLKNH and has little, like some words on it and a little, I thought the, it had a QR code on it. I thought for sure it was going to go to the like whatever
the cosplayers site.
Yeah, like the cosplayers thing, but no, it went to like
the official trailer.
Yeah, it's from the official trailer for She-Hulk.
It was a YouTube link to the official trailer for She-Hulk.
I thought was a weird, it's such a funny and weird thing to do.
Yeah,
like I feel like if you're doing that, if you're going around as Jennifer Walters offering people, that's what she did. She offered me legal services. She's like, said like, you seem like the type of guy who might need some legal services here on Earth, so if you do need that, here's my card.
I love it.
It was so good. And the fact that it like didn't go anywhere, it was not an advertisement for her like cosplay page. It was just like, here I am.
It's just, here's She-Hulk.
I'm just She-Hulk. And here's the ad for my TV show.
It's hilarious that it like, out of the people that she could have given that to, like obviously she probably gave that to several people, right? But like the fact that you got one.
Yeah.
And we are on this podcast. Like I'm almost like, don't you know who I am?
Oh no, no. You know? My mom, I called my mom this morning to tell her about, you know, checking on her. She's in the hospital and checking in on her, seeing how she's doing and checking to see how she's doing. She has a rehab for her legs and stuff. And like, she's working on that. And she was like, oh, so you're at the convention? She does not understand what I do.
Yeah.
Doesn't understand the scope of it. Doesn't understand like how well known I am for it. Doesn't. And like, we have an audience, like people listen. We have a lovely group of pandas out there who like listen and know us, and we know a lot of them, and it's wonderful. But we aren't like household names at a convention.
Absolutely not.
So she asked me like, so you're at the convention. Do a lot of people know you there? I was like, no, mom.
Like, we're not household names at conventions, especially. And there's like over 60,000 people here.
Right. That is bigger than our audience.
Yeah.
Like, the entire thing. Not to mention the ones that are local to Atlanta that could be here in Atlanta.
Or the ones that, like, have taken the time to come to Atlanta from other places.
Yeah.
Like,
Nah. It's silly. But I just thought that was very funny because she's blown away that I make podcasts as a part of the cobbled together stuff that is my living, you know, music and all kinds, a few different kinds of music. And I do some video editing and then I do podcasting.
Yeah.
And it's like, she's like, how do you do that for money? And I'm like, it's advertising, mom. People do advertising and there's Patreon.
Yeah.
And she was just like, I don't, what, how does that give you money though?
And I'm like, there's people that want to give me money directly. And then there's people that want to pay me to talk about their stuff and then give me money.
Yeah, exactly. This is it's funny just to how little she understands what's going on in my life.
That's hilarious. And that ties back into like, don't you know who I am? Like,
yeah, exactly.
Obviously she doesn't know who we are.
No, not at all.
Can't know. Like,
but if you're out there and you are a listener, please send us an email. I think that you're hilarious. That was great.
Yeah. And if you if you're a listener and you're cosplaying She-Hulk, please come offer us your legal services. We're gonna need them.
And Jeff's gonna need other kinds of services, unfortunately.
Oh, man. Should we talk about that? We should talk about that, I guess. Like,
talking about Wanda?
Yeah.
This picture will be on the page as well.
Absolutely, it will.
Absolutely. That was so funny.
And like, so we found a Wanda in the dealer hall. We found a Wanda Maximoff who had a sign around her waist.
A very like tall.
Tall, gorgeous.
Gorgeous. Like very statuesque and very like strong looking Wanda.
Yes. And as many listeners may know,
that's some Jeff service
That's some absolute Jeff service. And she had a sign around, like, I guess around her waist or around her neck.
Around her neck. Yeah.
She was carrying a sign that said, I will step on you for $10.
And then her Cash App and had, Venmo.
Like, Cash App, Venmo. Like, all of these ways that she could receive $10. And I was like, ha, that's funny. And I was just going to walk past.
Just walking past. And I immediately jumped in.
Yeah,
oh, excuse me. I will pay you $10 to step on Jeff Randall. Is that cool?
The best part about that was that I got to lay on the cool concrete floor. Because it felt so good. But then also she stepped on me and I was just like, this is so funny.
It's very great. So we have a picture of that coming to the coming to the Stranded Panda page as well. A picture of Jeff being stepped on by a Wanda.
I tried to give a few different poses of like, oh, this hurts, or ooh, I like it. I didn't know which way to go. And I was like, you know, use A and B, your choice.
Pick the take you need.
Yeah.
Stop acting like it was a performance. You were just genuinely enjoying that.
It was funny. It was really funny.
It was really funny. I just like immediately, I couldn't.
Yeah,
I
was like, Matt was just like, no, get your ass back here. Cash lay down.
What is it? We need this picture. We're here to create content, right?
Oh man. And like, I felt like I had done a good deed when I was like, you know what? I'm going to pay this random accordion guy on the street $20. Cause he played the X-Men theme from the 90s series.
Yes. You guys heard on the last episode, Ashley and Katie were with us. Well, yesterday, Ashley went as Rogue, which was amazing. Yep. Ashley Coffin, and Katie Brennan went as Gambit.
Yep.
A gender bent Gambit. And it was, mwah, so yep, good.
Very, very good cosplay.
Very good. Very, very good cosplay on both their parts. And I was this like medieval Loki walking around.
You kind of pieced together the medieval Loki as we were walking around.
As I was going around, I saw that coat and I was like, all right, I'm medieval Loki today. Yeah. Let's do it.
this is how I am now.
That's happening. So I grabbed all that. But yeah, they were freaking awesome. But we were standing on the curb outside and the two of these X-Men are standing close to an accordion player who's busking.
X people, I think.
What is it?
You said two of these X-Men, but like...
No, I'm sorry. Yes, you're right.
It's X 2022, people. Matt. They're X-People.
I'm sorry. X-People.
Sounds like they're former people.
Yeah, it does. Now that you think about it, X-Men does too. So anyway, they walked up and there's an accordion. Oh, I wish I knew her name. It was Tim something.
Timothy McManus is his name.
Yeah, yeah. Timothy McManus, and he was quite the accordion player here in Atlanta.
He was.
And he, but anyway, so he's in there busking and they walked up and kind of stood near him while they're waiting on us to come out of the shop. And they were, and he started playing the 90s X-Men theme on the accordion.
But he was doing it like, he had modified it to be more, you know, like, I guess better for the accordion.
Yeah,
and was absolutely. Like, he was really like hamming it up and like fantastic performance.
Yeah, it was freaking great. It was freaking great. So we're having a great time at Dragon Con 2022. We still haven't really done any meetup type things. We really need to plan something like this when we really plan ahead. Yeah, we need to plan things. It's hard. It's just life is a storm of chaos, and I just do what I can.
life is a pair of ADHD people is tough to plan.
Indeed. But speaking of plans, I told you I was going to talk to you about She-Hulk a little bit. My thoughts on something I don't like about She-Hulk, I think I'm realizing.
Yeah, okay.
I love She-Hulk. I really love watching She-Hulk.
You don't like that you love She-Hulk? Is that what we're getting at?
No, it is a great experience. It's freaking great. I love watching it. I really enjoyed the first three episodes. You know, we've talked about a few editing issues and like some feelings of like they chopped it up a little too much maybe, but like this third episode felt so freaking good.
Yep.
And something we talked about the last episode was the idea that like this exists in that Galaga part of the universe,
yeah.
You know, where Galaga guy in Avengers,
that Galaga joke
exists, and that makes sense to me. I kind of like it. I like that the MCU has that corner to it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, and I know I'm being a stickler. I really do. But I've been listening to like other takes. Like I never listened to other takes until we do our talks.
Right.
Or at least I try not to.
You don't want to be tainted.
I don't want to be tainted by other people's view of something before I talk about it.
We want your take to be pure.
Yeah. And so I've been listening to like other like YouTube creators and they've just been breaking down like what happened in episode 3 of She-Hulk. And they were talking about things like, I think Screen Crush was one that I was listening to. Mm-hmm. And really like that guy, pretty good YouTuber, and he like was breaking down She-Hulk and what all the different moments meant and Easter eggs and all that stuff, and he's getting into things like when Wong says the thing about maybe I'll make them forget. No, I won't. You know, like I won't do that again. I won't do that again. Like,
or no, I won't do that. Not after last time,
right? So we're all assuming he means the Doctor Strange time.
Right.
But we know from the previous time Doctor Strange performed that spell, Wong doesn't remember when he does that spell.
I don't think that that's the thing. I think that that spell has been used on Wong. Right. And that's why Wong doesn't remember. But I think Wong is aware that that spell was cast this past time.
How would he be? Because even Doctor... Well, okay, maybe you can know the spell was cast, but you just don't know who Peter Parker is?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's what it is. I think it's that...
You know you forgot something, but it's...
Yeah, I know that I used to know who Peter... Or who Spider-Man is, right?
Right. But there's that joke earlier in the movie where they're talking about, that's how I made you guys forget the something Christmas party or something.
Yeah, do you remember the whatever Christmas party? No? Mm-hmm.
Right.
But like... That one was targeted, and like my headcanon for that at least is that one was targeted at Wong. But then if you remember in Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness, Wong and Strange were both saying, oh yeah, there was a recent incident with Spider-Man.
Yeah.
With the multiverse.
Exactly, they were.
That's why Wong knows about the spell having been cast and knows
right, okay.
that there was chaos because of it.
It also could be that Doctor Strange remembers the spell.
Yeah, Doctor Strange remembers casting the spell and probably talked about it with Wong.
Right, exactly. That tracks. Okay. That one tracks. There's still a few things in that conversation though that bother me.
Okay.
And it's little stuff like this. Okay. My point was they started using this. Screen Crush started using this as they started using it as like evidence. For like, oh, it looks like the spell's breaking down because Wong's starting to remember. And they had like flashes of like, you know, Mary Jane or MJ and MJ and Ned and being like, oh, there other people might start remembering too, which we've speculated about. Maybe the spell will break down. His friends will remember one day, surely. But
sure.
Like, it's just this kind of strange, like, that's a joke. He's making a joke. He's just, it's a reference to what happened to Doctor Strange that's a joke. But it's sort of so flippant that as Marvel fans, we start speculating.
Oh, yeah.
But sometimes a joke is just a joke in a comedy. But if it exists in the universe of the MCU, then the joke isn't just a joke. It's a part of this tapestry.
Yep.
So when certain things happen, they become a part of this tapestry that we start speculating about and using as evidence.
Yep.
So now we know, well, and we know that from Spider-Man too, so I guess it's not new information, but like we know from Multiverse of Madness that Wong knows. Mm-hmm. So, like, it's not surprising that he knows that. Anyway, there's other things. Like, when she says that there's a problem with Blonsky, and he's like, we could send him to the Shadow Realm. Like, he says that...
It's like, we'll send him to the Mirror Dimension.
That is a joke...
Shadow Dimension?
...to us.
Yeah.
But Wong doesn't say it as a joke.
Yeah.
He's saying it as an option. That is an insane thing to do. You pulled someone out of prison... Forced them to do a thing and sent them back to prison. You're even by the end of the episode talking about how he's reformed.
Yeah.
But as the Sorcerer Supreme, you are willing to send him to a dark dimension or whatever. Not the dark dimension, but the shadow dimension or the
shadow dimension. Yeah. A different plane of existence, basically.
That's a terrible trait of Wong to be willing to throw away someone because he used them. That's terrible.
Yeah.
Without even a thought, without like, oh, this is going to be terrible, but I have to do it to save reality. No, it's just like, oh, a little bit of legal trouble. How about I just banish a sentient being to the shadow dimension? Like, that is a terrible thing. And I get it. It's a joke. I love the joke. I am here for the joke.
Yep.
I am. It's a big part of the show. It's why I like the show. It's a joke based in this mythos I love. But it also makes Wong to be out to be a total jerk. Like a kind of a terrible villain if he's willing to do that. So like I don't want them to not be able to have the freedom to make the jokes they want to make. But also, if it's got to exist in this world, you can't get too silly. You can get silly, but you have to be careful what you're saying about your characters.
Yeah. Well, like, in Multiverse of Madness, Wong was willing to have America Chavez be killed. Like, he said to Strange at the end of it, like, do it, like, take her power.
Absolutely.
And then Strange was like, no, we have to trust her. She has to trust her power. Like, let her do it. So, like... In that situation, I guess, where it's like
right.
the multiverse is at stake.
Exactly.
That's what I was just saying. That's a big decision to make.
But all of the realms are super
low stakes with Emil Blonsky.
Yeah, like all realms are collapsing in on each other. The world, you know, we may have to kill someone. Like we may have to do a bad thing to a human being.
Yep.
But like this Emil situation, he just jumps to shattered. It's not that.
It's not that.
And
at
so,
all.
Like, I get it that it's a joke. I don't want to take it too seriously. I'm here for the ride.
Yeah.
But I also. It is part of the tapestry now.
Yeah.
So now I have to, and that's the thing, is I'm watching these things like Screen Crush, as I said, mm-hmm. and they're like using that to speculate about how Dark Wong is turning. And I don't think that's what the show is trying to tell us, but it's telling us that because of how we watch these shows.
Yep.
It's a weird place to be.
I get how that can upset you. I get how that can make you be upset with the show, rather, and maybe turn you off to it. But I am very easily able to separate jokes from reality.
I am too.
Even if it's the MCU reality.
Right. I am too, but it's like a slippery slope argument.
Yeah,
I don't want the whole MCU to become jokes.
Some would say it already is.
Well, but then there are very comedic things. Certain things are, and I like that it can have a thing like the Thor movies and like She-Hulk that are mostly jokes. Like I'm fine with that. The world exists. Like the actual we've talked about before, but the actual world exists, and there are tragic things happening in our world right now, and there are also. Wonderful, hilarious times happening at the same time.
Yeah.
Like the world can exist and it can overlap and it can be great.
The world is on fire, but Dragon Con is happening and it's a ton of fun.
Yeah. I'm having a great time over here, everybody. politics be damned. Like, you know, it's true that the world can have these dichotomies. So I'm fine with this, us having a great jokey time, but. When you tell me Wong is willing to cast someone out to a different dimension, I wish I had more examples and I should have written them down because as I was watching that video, there were a lot of them that I was like, ooh, that is a weird thing to say about that character.
Yeah.
That's a weird thing to say about that character. Like,
well, I mean, Wong in that moment seems a little, what's the word? Like he seems characterized differently because like, you wouldn't normally think, like, knowing what we know about Wong, you would not think of Wong as someone to lose track of time or to,
right.
like, not keep an appointment or something like that.
He's very fastidious.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, he's got other higher duties as the Sorcerer Supreme, mm-hmm. but, like, he seems like a very careful, meticulous, organized person. He was a librarian.
Right.
Like, come on.
Well, then again, you know, see, and this is the thing that, this is the thing that Screen Crush did that I'm about to do it. I'm about to do the exact thing that Screen Crush did that annoys me, which is like taking a joke too far to the point where I'm like starting to speculate about what they're doing. And I don't think that's what a lot of these jokes are meant to do.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to sit here and do it for 5 minutes. And here we go.
We have been doing it.
In Spider-Man, No Way Home.
Yeah.
They have that whole conversation about how Wong left the gate open because it's supposed to be his responsibility.
I was just thinking about that.
There's that. And then there's the it seems that Wong might be a little in over his head as Sorcerer Supreme. And then you combine that with this moment where he's like, Emil Blonsky's a problem. Just throw him away. In a different dimension. Just That's fine.
Put him in the trash can.
Drag to recycle bin. It's fine.
Yeah. I can't find a place to put this figure, throw it away.
Yeah, exactly. It may be, and this is me doing the thing. I'm genuinely, sincerely doing the thing that I'm talking about Screen Crush doing, which is like, maybe Wong is in over his head and he's getting a little too like, fast and loose, you know?
Nuclear approach to every problem. Like, I don't care what it is, just handle it. This is the best way to handle it.
Like, I gotta make decisions. I'm the Sorcerer Supreme. Like, we just gotta get things off the board so we can clean up what's going on.
Yeah. Like, we're having trouble organizing my collection. I'm just gonna throw it away if it's a problem.
Yeah. So, who knows? Maybe that is a thing they're trying to tell us. Maybe that is how Doctor Strange will eventually become the Sorcerer Supreme, if he ever does, because Wong, you know, is overwhelmed and does a bad job. Who knows? But I don't really get this. I don't get the vibe that they're trying to tell us that about Wong.
Yeah, I don't see that. I just see that as like, it was a funny situation and that's it.
Exactly. But then they, when you take a funny situation far enough, like with the Blonsky joke, it feels like, I don't know. I don't know if that works.
My friend Leah has been, like, I've been talking to her a lot recently, and she keeps saying, like, in every joke, there's about 25% of truth. Like, about 25% of a joke is truth. And I'm like, oh no, oh no, is that coming into my MCU now? Like, Wong is making this joke, but like, maybe there's that nugget, that little nugget of like, it's going to expand. And like, yeah, Wong is in over his head. Like,
yeah,
why have you planted this seed in my brain, Matt?
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Like, now we're going to be looking for things that lead us down that path. And it might just be something that they thought it was funny and they left in. And it's not really meant to tell us anything about the world that we're in. But that's the problem when you have these different tones in a comedy world. In a comedy world, you get Looney Tune rules.
Yeah.
Where like you fall off a cliff and then you get back up, you have a cast on, but you still tie the TNT to the Roadrunner or whatever, you know? Like, you just keep moving. And like in this, it's like, oh no, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
Like, if you're following the rules,
consequences.
Yeah, if we're following the rules that have been laid out for us over the course of 26 movies, like, there are consequences to you doing something so dark. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And yeah, anyway, that's the sort of thing that I'm like, there were other examples and I thought I would have them at the tip of my brain, but I don't. But there are like, there's these things that they make jokes about that then I have to go, I guess that's canon now. And like, I love the show. I love what it is. I love what it does. But it almost feels like it's playing fast and loose with canon a little bit.
A little bit. I could see
that. And characterization specifically.
I mean, the thing that's throwing a wrench in it for me is that, like, with the way that She-Hulk is being played, or the way that the show is being laid out, she knows that it's a show.
Yeah.
Because she's doing the take to camera all the time. So you're saying
there could be some creative license there?
It could be that it's like, this is all her interpretation of, or yeah, like the retelling.
And that's like, not bad.
And like that, you know, it could be that that's how she interpreted Wong saying like, you know, we have these options.
Right.
It could be. I don't know.
I've been thinking a lot about her turns to camera and the idea that it is her telling the story. And that is something different. Not that we've never had that before. We've had that in a few other MCU movies that was, it was someone, like Iron Man 3 and it was Thor the Dark World, where Thor is telling it to Banner. Is that right? Or is it, anyway, there's a few MCU movies where there's a wraparound where you find out they're telling the story to someone.
Yeah.
I believe Iron Man 3.
Iron Man 3 was that. He was talking to Banner.
And there's one other one, and I'm blanking on. Because Thor the Dark World doesn't have that.
No.
It's something with a little more comedic tone, I think. Anyway, I'm spacing right now.
Thor Love and Thunder was kind of wrapped as...
Thor Love and Thunder was, yeah.
Korg telling the kids, gather around, kids. I'm going to tell you about the God of Thunder.
That might be what I'm thinking of. That might be. I think it was something older that is in my brain, but I'm conflating. But either way, it's been done before, but in the past we've accepted all of those things as canon. And in this case, are we supposed to believe that some of this is a little sillier, like it's a little slapstickier of a world because it's coming through the eyes of Jennifer Walters, who's telling the story?
Yeah. That makes the Wrecking Crew scene a lot funnier. Because like, if it is through her eyes, then, you know, it's like these guys that looked absolutely ridiculous could have looked to a regular person really scary.
Right.
But like to her, she like, because she's like, you guys are nothing. Like, it's guys that like just look like a regular dude with long hair and a crowbar that glows, like,
yeah,
nothing of any kind of real threat at all.
And it's also just, they look very comic booky and silly, you know.
Yeah.
Like, they look very silly. And with the light up different color, like whatever, artifacts or whatever.
Yeah.
It could be that that's what they're doing. If they're doing that, I kind of need it to be said. Like, I kind of need the Jen in one of her things where she turns to camera to be like, okay, there's definitely some creative license happening here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if she could give me one of those, and then I'd be like, any other problems in the show, I now can...
I can use that.
Headcanon
it. I can apply this to that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Give me that. If you're going to make the show so silly... to the point that certain lines make me think like Wong is turning into Dark Wong, then like, give me a little bit of that, maybe. Or would that just annoy me because now it's not canon? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Now I'm watching the whole show and I don't know what's real.
Now we're going to have to dissect everything that's in there to be like, is this her interpretation or is this how it actually happened?
Like, is it just the broad strokes? It might be, she could say that. She's like, obviously there's some artistic license. I'm telling you the story. The broad strokes are what happened, but like, I don't remember all the dialogue. Yeah,
I don't remember the dialogue exactly, but like, so, this is the feel I got from it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So anyway.
Yeah.
Just thought that was interesting. Thought that was a little interesting little tidbit.
Now we've planted that in a bunch of other people's heads.
Yeah. There you go. There you go.
We're spreading the hate.
I'm not hating. I freaking love the show. And I know it's getting hate for a lot of other reasons that I think are completely silly.
Yeah. Absolutely ridiculous.
It's been said all over the internet, but if you like Baron Zemo dancing, but you don't like She-Hulk dancing with Megan Thee Stallion, there's just not much of a difference there.
Yeah.
It's like, a great joke.
You're the problem.
It's a great joke. It has nothing. So many MCU characters have danced.
Yeah. Iron Man danced.
Yeah.
Sexily in Iron Man 3 at the beginning of the movie. Like, Star-Lord was dancing with, like, using small creatures as microphones
and
like,
kicking
them around. Like,
yeah.
That's pretty violent. Like, that's not great, but we love it.
Yeah.
We loved watching it happen.
It's silly. It's fun. And we're cool with the dancing and all these other scenarios. And just because it's a woman booty dancing, like, yeah, come on, guys.
Yeah.
It's hilarious. Absolutely. Have you seen the pictures of that scene?
Oh, yeah, where she's in the mocap suit.
Yeah, the mocap like, scene with her stage. On the set.
Yeah.
I love it so much.
It's so great that she was actually doing it.
My God. One of the poses I thought for sure was not real because it was like, she's like down on the floor with like her legs up. I don't know. It's like a very like, I don't know, very acrobatic pose. And I was just like, but it showed Tatiana in the freaking mocap suit dancing like that. And that's so good.
Yep.
I freaking love it. I freaking love it.
Good times.
And I just imagine like that had to be so fun to film. Like Tatiana Maslany hanging out. And that line is so perfect. I would kill for you, Megan Thee Stallion.
All right, dial it back. I love her reaction when she delivers that line, dial it back. When she's like, she puts her hands up and is like, no. it's so good.
It's really good. I love it. I think this show is great. I love it in so many ways. So I'm not trying to pile on any kind of like hate for She-Hulk.
It's not She-Hulk that you don't like, it's the writers.
No, it's not even that. I love the writers too. It's literally, honestly, it's the way that we talk about the MCU and how seriously we take it.
We're because the problem.
We love this. Kinda. Yeah. Like it wasn't the show that I minded. It was like the reaction online where they're trying to take a joke and make it into a big thing.
Yeah.
But I don't blame them for that either because that's what we do.
Yeah, we extrapolate.
And
so we just gotta calm down.
Like, kinda, but also like, that's not what we do. We don't calm down. That is not the way.
We tell everybody else, need to calm down, but not us.
No.
But not us.
Not us. Everyone else has moved on.
Oh, I love that I got to quote Captain America. I got to quote Steve Rogers.
Oh. All right. Well, I guess that's about it. You got anything else you want to say before we get off here?
Nah, man. Just having a blast at Dragon Con. I'm so tired, but it has been absolutely worth it to not, like, we haven't gone to any panels at all.
No, I am going to one in an hour. I'm doing it.
You're doing it?
I'm doing it.
Okay. Well... Have fun.
I'm going to the Infinite Riker Games. Infinite Riker Games. That's what it is.
Okay.
It's all William Riker from Star Trek and different people cosplay as him, and they do some sort of games. Like, it's like, I don't even know.
Oh, like how good can you put your leg over the chair kind of thing?
No, I do think there's like, I don't even know. It's like literally like a bunch of Rikers doing like trials to see if they can,
yeah,
who will be the best Riker. It's like a Riker pageant where everyone's cosplaying as a different kind of Riker.
I like it.
I'm really excited about it.
I like it.
It's like a multiverse of Rikers.
And when is that?
That's at 4.
Okay.
It's an hour from now. I got to get over there pretty soon.
I'm going to the MCU half phased.
Ooh.
At that time.
Interesting.
And it's basically just what are we expecting from phase 4 kind of thing. And I'm going to see how other MCU podcasters and presenters talk and think about these sorts of things.
I can't wait to hear about that. That sounds fun.
I'm not going to remember anything. In fact, I plan not to.
Yeah. I don't want to infest myself. I'll have to neuralize myself afterwards.
Yeah. I don't want to be tainted.
Exactly. And it comes back around. All right. Well, we'll be back soon, guys. We are, Ashley and Katie left this morning. They flew out this morning back to Philly. I both missed them, and I'm really glad that we're not going to go dancing tonight.
Yeah. I both missed them, and I'm glad they're gone.
Because they like to party like I like to party, which is like going out dancing and getting down, getting jiggy with it out on the dance floor. And I am so sore.
They are enablers. And
we're all
you're constructive wavelengths.
Listen,
you build each other up.
Enabling makes it sound like it's a bad thing,
right?
I had a great time.
That's
would
why
not trade it for the world.
I changed it. I changed it because I'm trying to be positive about it. You're constructive wavelengths.
Yes, we are.
You collide and build each other up.
That's right.
But it comes at a cost.
It does. My knees.
Your knees.
Whoo. Okay, well, we'll be back soon, guys. Thanks for joining us for these Dragon Con episodes. We've had a fun time. It's just fun to be in the same room, man.
Finally.
Again. Although, I'm in a gaming chair and you're on a stool.
Yeah.
And I'm like 3 feet shorter than you, and it feels a little like you're trying to lord over me.
No, this is exactly what I wanted.
All right, it was deliberate. You heard him, folks. We'll be back, guys. Peace.
Until next time, true believers.
Thank you for joining us for the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. Available everywhere you get podcasts, and now a video version streaming live on twitch.tv/strandedpandatv and available at youtube.com/strandedpanda. And if you'd like to learn more about all of our other podcasts, geeky projects, and ways to support the network, visit strandedpanda.com.